I was telling, well, on Wednesdays and on Sunday evenings, like the same group of people always get together. So I wanted to tell you what I call you, okay? But it's not anything bad. It's a good thing. It's a compliment. It's called the few and the faithful. That's what I call you. And I just am so happy to be able to speak to you guys because this is the group that when I first came here, you all are the ones that welcomed me here. So I think that's a very special moment to be able to share the word of God with you. So before we start, let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to, again, to gather together and just look into your word together. And God, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love towards us. And God, I just pray that as we open the word of God once again, that you would speak through me and that you would use me once more. In Jesus' name, amen. I have another story. This one's a little, it's also about Tim Hortons because, again, that's where I live, basically. It's not even that old of a story. This happened like a month ago. I was back to work for 1 month and then a month later, month into it. This is only 3 months. I've only been back for 3 months, just to give you understanding. So I was working. We had just had hired a new supervisor, and she came with a lot of ideas to fix our store because she was a manager at her old one, which, I mean, that's nice. But so she came in, and she just wanted to change everything. And I mean, I have strong personalities on my shift. I work evenings, so one of the things that if you're not liked in the morning, you're shipped to the evenings, right? So because you know you get into confrontations with customers and stuff, you're just my problem, not their problem. So that's, which is whatever, that's fine. I enjoy working with my staff, but this lady, she struggled with that a little bit, and so she decided that she wanted to take my store apart, like literally apart, and to start all over again. Which I call it my store, which I mean, my owners don't like that, but I call it my store. And so we're there, and she's just on a rampage, right? Like throwing things and cleaning, and which I mean, I'd like the cleaning part, but not the throwing things, and just going through things. It's awful. And then she thinks that we're short-staffed, so instead of like calling someone in, this actually does have relevance to the what my message. So just anyway, I'm not just ranting. But so she decided to call in her fiance to work, which he doesn't work for us. It's kind of illegal. Well, it is illegal. It's not kind of. It is. So anyway, I'm on my break anyway. So then I come back out, and this other person's here, and I'm like, who is this? Anyway, so long story short, she gets fired, he leaves, and then another problem happened. And then one of my other staff members, her roommate, fell. She just had a hip replacement. She fell down the stairs, and she had a stroke as well. That's why she fell down the stairs. And so she ended up having to leave. So anyway, I went from one person short to being four people short, all in one shift, and then just me and one other person had to finish the night. Heavy night, hard night. I cried a little bit. When I got home, I was like, oh my goodness, you have no idea the day that I just had. And and I mean, if you know my owners, I don't know if you know them, but they're wonderful people, and they're like, you know, they gave me a Dairy Queen card for like sticking through it. So that's very, very kind. And I ate, like I went out and I bought a peanut butter parfait because the biggest one I could find, right? Like I just need comfort food. It was a crazy night. But the point of the story was that, again, we have some burdens that we carry in this life, and we have some strong nights, and we have some interesting people to deal with day to day, and we have to learn how to deal with those and just laugh about it later, right? That's only like a month ago, so it's fresh, you know? Sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, that happened to me. But, you know, and some of the things that we go through in life are somewhat challenging. But the Lord Jesus, as kind and loving as he is, tells us something amazing and something so helpful to deal with some of these issues. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, and I'm sure you all know where I'm going with this now as soon as I said the passage, but we're going to start at verse 28. Or maybe we'll start at 27 just for context sake. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal them to. Then this is where we're like really focusing here. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's if you remember this morning, we talked about David and Goliath and David being the right attitude to have in life and how we're supposed to, those secret sins or whatever, the Goliath of our life, and how his personality was the right one to choose, right? We had Goliath being the taunter and the sin that he's, you know, you're here, I'm here for life, right? So don't just get used to me. You're going to be my slave. And then you have King Saul, who was scared and was, well, I know it's there, so we're just going to leave it there. And then David, who was willing and ready to face the giant, and he had the faith to do so. Well, tonight we're going to look at, well, when you're dealing with that, how do you deal with that? How do you face that giant? Where do you find that rest? How do you find that strength? How do you find that peace? And I think that Jesus in this passage really teaches us that. And it's amazing. Again, this is just right after the Sermon on the Mount, right? We know the Sermon on the Mount is like, he's going through all the Beatitudes and all the things, and it's a very long sermon. You can take a whole course on it if you want to. And it's quite fascinating. And there's lots of books about it. But it's amazing that the Lord Jesus says this, come to me. Even that, just leave it there, right? Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. That's amazing. Like, you know, like sermon over, right? Like, come to me. That's all that Jesus wants you to do. Come to me. But he goes on because he knows that we're human, right? He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Because, you know, the Lord knows that, you know, we work. Because he created work, right? So he knows that, you know, we go out and we do all the things that we do in a daily life, right? And, you know, even waking up sometimes is a labor. So we're like, oh my goodness. And, you know, all these things, right? Like, our daily lives are not always easy. And we labor through them. And sometimes we have heavy, heavy burdens to carry. I mean, this passage specifically is talking to the Jews, and I think that in that it's probably talking mostly about the law over the Jews, right? Because the Jews had, you know, you had to do this. And the Pharisees were really, really uptight about them and created a few extras just to put extra pressure on them. So that's kind of not very nice. So they had extra, extra, extra pressure based on, you know, their culture and everything. So that's what the passage is talking about. Like, they're talking directly to them. But I think we can relate it to us in the sense that, you know, we have heavy burdens too. Sometimes we create our own heavy burdens, right? Like, we overstress some things in our lives, or something happens that we just did not see coming, and it's just, you know, I can't go on, like, I'm done. You know, I think we've all been there, like, just, no. And I mean, obviously, I'm only 25, so I'm sure I'm going to hit some more of those along the way too, right? And I mean, I have a daughter now too, so that should be fun. And I can just see teenage years, you know. I grew up with three sisters, so I think I'm pretty prepared for some things, but it's going to be a little different because I can't, Mom, can you deal with that? And it's going to be, I can say, Beth and Aide, can you deal with that? But but we have some heavy, heavy burdens. But Jesus said, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What does rest mean? You know, when you contemplate that, it's like, well, you know, I come home from work, I sit on the couch, put my feet up, that's rest, right? That's nice. But it's not, it doesn't last very long, right? Because, you know, you have to do a million other things, right? So it's not a true rest. What Jesus is offering us is not just like, you know, come and put your feet up. It's eternal rest. It's peace beyond all measure. Come to me, all you who are, oh, see, now I'm saying King James. Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Not just your bodies, but your souls. Find rest in me. Isn't that amazing that the God of the universe, the creator of the world, said, you know, I love you, so just come to me. Follow me. It's fine. Because I know you're tired. I know you're weak. And I will give you rest for your souls. I will do that for you. It's amazing. And then it goes on, because it doesn't rest there, right? It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It's amazing, because a yoke, you know, like it holds the two cattle together or whatever. You know, we all know what a yoke is. So I won't go into detail. If it was a kid, like, you know, you were just like, here, you know, and I would probably have a stick and I put it on two people, you know, that's the yoke. And sometimes you want to yoke a kid too, right? Especially the cubbies, you're like, stay still, just for 2 seconds, please. But, you know, it's the thing that holds them together so that they work together. Instead of one, you know, going this way and one going that way, it just keeps them together and working in one straight path, if I understand that correctly. Which is amazing. So Jesus is saying, come to me, I will give you rest, but I will also walk beside you, and I will show you the way. Come, and I will teach you. And we will walk this life together. I think that's amazing. He promises in other places in the Bible too, as we know, that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's always there. Our salvation is secure in him. And that's amazing. So come to me. Learn from me. We'll walk through it together. I think that's amazing. Especially if we go back to this morning, when we're facing those giants in life, right? Whatever it might be, isn't it great to know that Jesus is yoked to you, that he's right there beside you, and he's ready and willing to go with you? I think that's amazing. I think it's absolutely amazing. He is an amazing God. He wants us to learn from him because he's gentle. He knows how to handle every situation that might come up. You know, he knows how to do it because he's God, right? So he's all-knowing. And he's also, if we remember correctly, he was a human. So he was tempted. He knows things. He knows how to be human. He was one. He knows exactly what we're going through. And I think that's an amazing truth as well, that he is willing to walk with us, and he is willing because he knows. And he's going to be the most helpful out of everyone. Sometimes we try to find I think our help in some other people, right? You know, you have like a confidant or whatever, and you try to find your help from other people and from other situations or from books or whatever it might be, and it doesn't always work out very well. I mean, even from the example that I had with this lady, her store probably ran twice as good as like better than ours, right? It probably just did because she was very organized, very clean, very to the point, very rule following, policy proof. And that probably worked really well, and it was probably ran wonderfully. But in our store, it just didn't work, right? Like, it's set up differently. It's you know, and I think that we do that a lot. You know, oh, it works for here, so maybe it'll work for here. But it doesn't always do that, does it? And I think that if we stop doing that and we just ask Jesus, like, well, which one's the best way? You know, like, what's best? He would lead us in the right direction. I think that's true. And this is an amazing, the last verse here, the verse 30, I think this is like an amazing verse. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, our yoke, when we're like, you know, just walking around earth by ourselves without God, it's really heavy. It's really hard. It's very difficult. I think even for Christians who forget to pray, for example, they have heavy hearts, right? And they walk around, and everything's extra stressful. I do this all the time. and I just like, why? What? Whoa. You know, especially at work, you know? Sometimes you forget, because it's too important, so you forget, like, why should I pray for God's wisdom here? You know, like, it's just making coffee. But it's so important, because the days that I forget to pray, I realize at the end of my day, well, I didn't pray. that makes a world of a difference of my day. Just handling different situations or whatever might come up, like it changes my day completely. And I think that, you know, there's that song, right? What a friend we have in Jesus. What a burden we often carry because we just don't pray. That's a problem. But this verse tells us, you know, you don't have to worry about it when you're under my yoke, because my yoke is light. It's easy. I'm doing all the carrying. You're just walking with me. Isn't that amazing? Just walk through this life with me. You know, just walk through this world with me. That's all I want you to do. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What an amazing little passage. Isn't that great? My father-in-law said, preached on this when we were down in Nova Scotia. I heard it twice, which, you know, when you travel with a preacher, you know, you hear the same sermons over and over, which, whatever, that's fine, right? So I heard it twice, and he had this story, and I just thought of it now, and it's quite the story, but it's from a book by the Lee Strobel, and I can't remember the name of the book off the top of my head, but he was a nurse, and anyway, he was a narcotic. He was able to give out narcotics or something. Anyway, somewhere in the States or something. And he ended up becoming a drug addict. And he went really, really low, and he became a drug dealer. And it was just really, like, overwhelming and sad story, right? He just went from, you know, being relatively well off and stable to a complete mess and homeless and a disaster and completely in depression, right? And having that burden upon him, right? And then the story goes on, though, that, you know, somebody, it was a church had some kind of a homeless outreach kind of an idea, and he went to it because he was starving, and he hadn't eaten for weeks and weeks and weeks, right? So this man went to this outreach, and somebody told him the gospel, and, oh, somebody hugged him. That's what it was. And, I mean, he's been homeless for, like, I think at this point, 10 years. Nobody's hugged him in 10 years. And somebody hugged him and said, it just looked like you could have used a hug, you know. And I guess he burst out crying, and he was, like, overwhelmed by the love that was shown. And so she was able to share the gospel with him, and he came to Christ. And what a burden to carry, though, right? That, you know, he just, like, went so low in this world. And just one little gesture from a person, like a hug, was able to open a door to his salvation. And I think that's an absolutely amazing, amazing thing. And he was able to get rid of his heavy load. He laid it down at the feet of Jesus and was able to be yoked with him and was able to walk through the world. And now he's a pastor somewhere. I can't remember exactly. I wish I remembered the title of the book so that you could look it up, but I can't remember. But it was a very interesting story, and I thought, you know, this world is hard, you know? I mean, you guys probably know better just because of life experience, right? So who am I to say that life is hard, right? I'm only 25, but life is not fun sometimes. It is burdensome. It is annoying. Sometimes you just don't, like the millennial way of saying it, is I don't want to adult today. I mean, I say it all the time. Like, I just don't want to adult today. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not how life works. Because I am an adult, so you have to, right? You have to sometimes, you know, just get dressed. That's like the biggest step, right? I work in the afternoon, so getting up in the morning and then remembering to get dressed is usually at 2:30 when I have to go to work. Like, so it's not always like the easiest thing. So I mean, for me, adulting is not always the most fun. Now I'm just ranting because I've only spoke for 10 minutes. So I'm sorry about that. But I just thought, you know, while I'm up here, I might as well share some other thoughts, right? Is that okay? Because my sermon's kind of over. Sorry, I thought it was going to be longer, but it wasn't. I need longer than 4 verses, okay? I don't know. Mark filled a whole 45 minutes with that. So I was like, oh, I can do it. Like, I can do this. But I'm not Mark, I guess. So I can't do it. But that's okay. But yeah, so the struggle is sometimes real. If I can, If you would pray with us, Bethany and I, as we are at kind of a crossroads in our life right now. So we're trying to decide if what is best direction to go. Right now it's, do we stay here in Ontario and do what we're doing, you know, work at Tim Hortons and raise our daughter here, or do we move to Nova Scotia and work alongside of our, like Bethany's parents and their church plant and work alongside with them and gain some new life experiences probably and just different culture because it's very different in Nova Scotia, like very different. And even though it's the same country, it's very, very different. And just learning that and just trying to figure out exactly the best way, best timing, best situation, maybe, like, is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Are we just doing it because mom and dad are down there? You know, we're just trying to make sure that we're making the right decision with that. And what exactly we would be doing when we go down there, like, if we're just moving down there, if we're working down, you know? So it's just a lot. It's a lot to carry for us. And, you know, so if you wouldn't mind praying along with us and as we try to make these decisions, because it's not easy, because we would be so sad to leave here, especially our church family, because you guys are so much, mean so much to us, right? So it would be really hard, especially since it's a church plant. So with church plants, as some of you might know, it's not maybe necessarily always the best fellowship because they're just new and they're like just getting started and it's kind of lonely. So it would be sad with that, and it would be kind of hard. And so that's kind of our burden right now in our life. And so we're just unsure of that. So if you just pray with us, I would be much grateful. Also, if you would pray, if you would also just remember my dad, some of you met him today. He doesn't walk very well, and he's injured a lot of parts of him, but ended up really hurting his knee and back in a tractor accident. So he has to, well, in theory, he's supposed to go in for a knee replacement. He's just very reluctant to. He has heart disease, so he's scared to, which makes sense. And just remember his like upbringing, because he grew up as a Christian, so just remember that part of his life, too. That would be another burden off of us as well. So I think that's also another important thing to do as Christians. It's just to be honest with one another and to share the struggles of your heart, right? I learned that the hard way, as I shared a while ago about being at KLBC and struggling with homosexuality and all of that stuff. Once I said it out loud, it was so much easier to deal with than it was when I was trying to hide it from people. Because I was afraid of judgment, and that's a real thing. And I think that sometimes we can be kind of judgy, but that's fine. Like, that's what we do, right? We're humans. But once I said it and people helped me, it was so much easier. Like, that wasn't hard at all, really. You know, like, I mean, I had challenges, but it wasn't nearly as hard to walk alone. And I think that, I mean, the Bible says to, anyway. But, you know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We are people of God. And as such, we're supposed to help carry each other through this world, right? We're supposed to be there for each other. And I think that that's something that, you know, we sometimes struggle with because, you know, we have our own problems. We don't need to deal with your problems. And I mean, I learned that too from Tim Hortons, because everyone there comes with problems, like hokey jumpins. You hire like hokey jumpins. So they all come and they all like to tell, like, my breaks equal, like, you know, people telling me their life story, which I don't mind. But, you know, you get like some interesting stories and some heavy ones, and just trying to like deal with them. And then some of them let me pray with them, some of them not so much, but they still like to tell me their stories. So that's good. But I think that if we shared what's on our heart more, I think we would find it easier to walk. It's just easier to be close together in fellowship with one another, what it means to actually truthfully be in worship together. I think that's a burden in my heart anyway. And I try to, at camp, I tried to teach that to the leaders, and I try, you know, like, you know, the closer we are, the more effective we'll be for God, right? The more we'll reach to people, right? And especially at camp, because it's so easy to a little drama to pop up, right? Two girls like one boy or something, woo, drama, right? And it causes, like, it's drama. So, but, you know, we're not supposed to have drama amongst each other, right? And you just go to your brother and you say what's wrong. Like, this upset me. And this is why. Not that, you know, I don't like you, but this is why I don't, like, you know, this is the situation, you know? And I think that's an important step for us to make. And if I can, you know, I hope I'm not misusing the pulpit. Like, I really hope I'm not. So it stop me if I am. But because this is like, you know, I'm not trying to. But it's just like all of the things coming out at once, so I apologize. But I think it all kind of connects together, like that we're supposed to all come to Jesus, you know? And that's our ground. And what holy ground it is, right? Like, wow. Just think about that for a minute, right? Like, holy, holy ground that we have to come together with or at, right? Just amazing. That Jesus laid down his life so that we all might be saved, so that we can all come together as brothers and sisters and worship him. That's what brings us together. And that's amazing. And so I think that being able to share is a great opportunity. I think, I don't know, does anybody have anything that they would like to share? Like, as in something that's burning them, that we can pray right now for that particular thing? Anything in the church or anything that's just causing some, anything? It's fine if it's not, that's fine. I think we're just going to pray, because I think that it's important to pray, right? But it's also just important to keep us as a united, because again, as I started with, right? The few and the faithful, like these are the people who pray for the church and that we pray for each other. This is the group, this is the core group of Emerson Heights, right? Like everybody else that makes up the family, but these are the people that keep the family together. That's what I think. We're like, you guys are like the glue. That's what you are. And you keep everyone together, you bring people here, it is amazing. So I just want to pray for you. I want to pray a blessing upon you guys for just being so willing and able to come. And you're an encouragement to us, because, I mean, some of us are, you know, we go through things, and some of you, you know, you are older and you still come, and you still come and you still are so faithful to share and to be there for us and to help us through like the stage that we're at. So I just want to pray a blessing upon you, and I want to just pray for the elders and for this place, that God would protect it and keep it just where it is, and that we would be good lights for the people around us and for the nations, and that many people, maybe we can raise up some workers to go out and to send some, who knows, right? Like, prayer can change a lot of things. So let's just do that. Let's just ask God for his blessing. God, we thank you. We thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your amazing love for us. We thank you so much for the cross. We thank you that you were so willing to come to this earth to save our souls. God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for keeping us in your flock. Thank you for finding us. And Father, we just pray for this place. We pray for Edmiston Heights. We pray for the people in it. We pray that you would keep us close, that you would keep Satan out. Just keep him out, Father. Like, help us to keep the door closed to him. Help us to be a close, united group. Help us to pray for one another. Help us to carry each other's burdens. Help us to be open with one another. Help us to just look to you for all things. Help us to have a David's heart in this world. Help us to seek you. Help us to find you. Help us to keep us in prayer, Father, just in constant prayer and thanksgiving to you. God, I pray for the elders. I pray for Dan and Don and Dick as they lead the church. I pray for encouragement for them. I pray that you would be give them strength and understanding. God, I pray that you would just really give them grace and your peace. God, I pray that you would just, again, lead them in the way that this we're supposed to go. Help us them to shepherd the flock, Father. I pray that we as a church would pray for them, that we would ask your wisdom upon them, Father. I just think of everyone here tonight. I thank you for them. I thank you that they keep this place together. And I thank you for their fellowship and for their love for us. I thank you for the opportunity to be in fellowship here and to get to know these people. God, I pray for protection for them. I pray that you would keep them close to you, keep them healthy and at your will, Father. And I just pray that you would, again, lead us in a way that maybe we can see a revival in Peterborough. That would be amazing. And we would see many people saved. God, it's amazing to have carried this gospel around with us. And Father, would just help us to use it. Help us to share it with our friends, our neighbors, our acquaintances. God, help us to just be soldiers for you. God, I thank you again for just the opportunity of preaching, Father. And I thank you that you have given me these opportunities. I thank you for your word that we can preach from. I thank you for your amazing, amazing word that we can look into together. I thank you for the time that has been set aside for this. I think that's amazing. So God, I thank you for that, and I pray your blessing upon it. And God, I just pray as we leave from here that we would be encouraged and that we would be look forward to the week, and that we might be able to serve you a little bit better, and that we might be able to help each other just a little bit better. We pray that you would keep us on your yoke, that we would feel that you are with us as we go through this week. And I just pray that you would, again, just encourage us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.